I'm now going to invite Jennifer Gonzalez to give her presentation. It gives me pleasure to meet Jennifer, one of many scholars. So it's amazing that within our circuits, we read each other, but rarely are there opportunities in which we can actually engage in conversation in person. I've been reading and admiring Jennifer's work as far back as maybe something that you forgot from 1994, where you were talking about space as a heterotopia, as a multi-layered environment. And I think you discussed the work of Marisela Norte, who was writing and taking the bus. I'm very struck how she's made links now between that kind of thinking about space and then the installation as a format and how it is in active engagement in a dialogue with museums that loops back and forth. And in that, race, sex, gender get negotiated, and she sees these terms and these social facts as describing the difference between what a body says and what a body means. And so she'll be talking about the work of Margarita Cabrera with a detour, if I understood correctly, through Oldenburg and Mel Casas to talk about now labor and discuss making an equivalence between labor and transit. Jennifer Gonzalez is an associate professor in the history of art and visual culture at the University of California, Santa Cruz. Her writing has appeared in numerous periodicals, including Frieze, World Art, and Diacritics, among others, and in anthologies such as The Cyborg Handbook, Prosthetic Territories, Politics, and Hypertechnologies, With Other Eyes, Looking at Race and Gender in Visual Culture, and Race in Cyberspace. And the highly anticipated book is going to be circulating soon in about 2 months or so, parts of which have been published, and it is entitled Subject to Display, Reframing Race in Contemporary Installation Art. Please welcome Jennifer Gonzalez.
Spatially constrained in comparison, because I'm just really looking at material culture, the material object and production of certain kind of passion for the automobile. So I guess I just start here. When we think about social space or public space, what often comes to mind, as we have seen, are the sites of the city, public plaza, the museum, or in a different class model, the laundromat, the supermarket, or places of the sewer, for example, with the last talk, which is great. But as we know, spaces exist not just in this geographical way. Spaces are always actively produced through material practices. When we often think of space, we think of it as an emptiness which can be filled, or a topography which can be mapped. But we all participate in that reproduction of space itself. Every action that we take, every engagement with the city, every choice of transit reproduces space, leaves traces, leaves marks, produces for us the environment in which we live. Space is therefore never neutral, but rather a very complex, constantly mutating set of power relations. Urban planner James Rojas has suggested that we think of city spaces, in particular, as enacted landscapes in which the patterns of action and encounter, daily behavior, and culturally specific habits form the identity of the place. So if we think about this question of how a space gets enacted, something I'd like to think about, and I'd like to think about the tools of that enactment. For my few brief moments here, I take a therefore counterintuitive approach to the question of space by looking at two works that address not representations of space and places, but the condensation of space into an object, the automobile. This is Humanscape 51, also a sort of subtitled Autoerotic 1969, or Autoerotic 69, painted by Mel Casas, a native of El Paso, Texas, who received his MFA at the University of the Americas in Mexico City. In the Humanscape series, the painted canvas appears as a projection screen, an echo of the dominant cinematic or television screen, onto which the signs of the present are broadcast. The painting reenacts the commercial framing of objects, the visual vocabulary of car advertisements. The motorcycles with their chrome and gloss, the car interior with white leatherette and undulating folds, not to mention the doe-eyed woman draped across the handlebars, work in concert to deliver a message about the passion for machines and transportation in an era of rapid roadway expansion in the 1960s and 1970s. Although the lowrider became popular a decade earlier in the 1950s, the auto in autoerotic may offer a subtle reference to the customizing of cars and motorcycles that became a form of self-expression and reappropriation of mass culture in many Chicano communities. But it is the erotic that dominates the image. The single hand reaching into the frame, you can see it there on the left, the single hand reaching into the frame, grasping the handlebar of the other motorcycle implies a probably male subject outside the frame. We can't be certain if it is his fantasy or her fantasy that is being played out here. Inside the frame is the space of desired objects, and a kind of equivalence is created between the human female and the machine. But that vinyl interior seems to be part of her dreamscape as well. Casas seems to both identify with and also ridicule those whose identities are entirely wrapped up in their rides. His canvas does not show us the space of city streets nor the open road, but rather the interior of the psyche. The space of the painting is almost claustrophobic, collapsed into a juxtaposition of bodies. The flesh and machine reveal a landscape of seductive propaganda. Casas' ongoing Humanscape series emerged during the waning years of the pop art movement, and clear visual parallels can be drawn between Casas and works of other painters, such as James Rosenquist, whose images also referenced the multiple screens of life mediated through television and advertising. Margarita Cabrera was born in Mexico and received her art degrees from Hunter in New York and now lives in El Paso. I'm interested in this Mexico and El Paso. In a long artistic tradition, Cabrera constructs sculptural replicas of mass-produced objects. The real objects, such as, we have the VW here, not the Hummer, but we have a great VW here, but she also works with toasters and blenders and reproducing these objects. The real objects such as toasters, blenders, and cars are all produced by cheap labor on the other side of the border in maquiladoras. This Hummer replica is constructed with hand-stitched vinyl. We can easily see the threads hanging off the sides like a strange decorative fringe. For those familiar with Klaus Oldenburg's oversized soft sculptures, the reference is clear. There's a formal and material resemblance, but there is also a conceptual parallel, since Oldenburg also explored the art object as commodity form, as something to be sold or exchanged, and the gallery as a commercial showroom. But unlike Oldenburg, Cabrera is working at actual scale, incorporating real car parts into her sagging hybrids. As one of the curators, John Noriega, observes, Cabrera's work links the two sides of the border, the all-American consumer-based economy and the cheap foreign labor that makes it possible. She invites us to contemplate the fact that Mexican maquiladoras are a site of exploited labor that has a specifically gendered quality, since most of the workers are young women. Of course, the manual labor involved in Oldenburg's soft sculptures, the sewing, was also gendered, frequently done by his first wife, Pat Wyczynski. Cabrera moves beyond a particularly masculine engagement with the automobile found in the tongue-in-cheek work of Mel Casas to a kind of queering of the Hummer as a masculine object made feminine in its soft contours, a fragile structure that suggests obsolescence. It also signals the weakness of an exploitative economic exchange subject to potential collapse, as I think we are witnessing today. The automobile ceases to be a site of projected consumer and sexual fantasy and begins to function as a portrait of the manual labor that is made invisible when the car is sold as a commodity. Both the real Hummer and Cabrera's replica to scale are ghosts of the worlds that produce them. Objects of mass production are always distillations of the spaces across which they travel, the spaces of design, the spaces of production, the spaces of consumption, and the spaces of reappropriation. The production of space can thus be seen as a set of enacted practices that result in the landscape of the present, the freeways, the pollution, the global warming, that in 1969 could barely be imagined. In an arc spanning 40 years, these two works in quite different ways reveal important spatial imaginaries without representing space directly. Casas offers us an erotic space of identification at the moment of the true ascendancy of the automobile. Cabrera offers us the moment, perhaps, of its unsustainability and demise. Both engage with the visual tropes of pop art in a self-consciously critical way, refusing the purported vacuousness of the original movement to instead render a culturally specific history within commodity culture. I doubt Cabrera was influenced by Casas. By bringing them together here, I invite us to consider the historical echoes that exist between them and their production of two different and differently gendered spatial imaginaries that coexist within the framework of Chicano culture. Both works also invite us to take stock of our own investments, economic and emotional, in one of modernity's most destructive inventions. Thank you.